Again, my name is Sean Conley, and even though my badge says Purdue, I'm now at Madison. I just recently moved there. So what I want to do is talk about some interesting survey data and how it can basically go into our extension programs and how this information can be used not only by ourselves in a selfish manner, but also by our administrators, as well as getting our message out to our grower clientele. I guess the first thing that we'll look at is some of the value in a well-designed survey. And I know there's younger faculty such as myself and Galen and others in the audience that really kind of need this information for our promotion. Oh, that's right, Dale Fiel in the back row there. Sorry, I didn't mean to leave you guys out. So what we really need this information to do is basically a needs assessment for our impact statements. We all in extension know what impact statements are now and how critical they are in our programming and getting that information, and then taking this information to our administrators and basically saying, this is what we did, this is why we're important, keep giving us money. Okay, that's in a sense, that's what we're trying to do with this. Also, for us younger faculty, Dale, they're invaluable in writing proposals, both within the state and our promotion and tenure documents, documenting impact, program direction, as well as manuscripts, which I'll kind of talk about in a little bit. And also, I think, personally, I've used it for capturing our clientele information. Because instead of sitting around and having our growers tell us, well, this is what the rumor is in the coffee shop, we can document what real trends are doing out there in the field. Where do they fit in? Let's say there's grower A and grower B in the audience. Where do they fit in with their competition? And I'm going to steal a Bob Nielsenism up here is, what is your neighbor doing wrong? That's what he always likes to use. It's never you guys in the audience, but your neighbors who aren't at this meeting, what are they doing wrong? So this is kind of a way to kind of basically engage your audience into understanding what they're doing. So I have two separate surveys here. The first one is a beast that I don't know if I'll ever try and take on again. When I first moved to Purdue, we worked with the Indiana Soybean Alliance to basically put together a survey that covered crop, pest, and marketing surveys. In a sense, and I'll kind of probably jumping ahead here, is a 52-question, 8-page survey that went out to 5,000 soybean growers in the state. And so I talked to a couple people that filled it out, and it would take an hour and a half to do it correctly. And so that was kind of that one. And the reason for this is basically the Indiana Soybean Alliance is looking at positioning their research dollars in the most economical sense. They want to get a feeling from their growers who are getting the checkoff dollars removed that yes, we are going to be answering and addressing your needs. The other one was a soybean fungicide survey that we basically just used industry money for. Got a couple $100 here and there to put out a quick and dirty survey to try and figure out a very pointed, targeted survey of what are you all doing in regards to spraying fungicides in soybean. Okay? Again, the first one was 52 questions, and believe it or not, we got 1,330 growers to fill that beast out. It was for a 27% response rate. The cost on that was $16,000. That was the cost of this survey. So it was very expensive, very time-consuming survey. The other one was a quick and dirty seven question, one page. We sent out 1,600 surveys, and we got 592 growers to send it back. One of the tricks we used was we did not put Purdue University on there. No, because they think you're asking for money. What we did is we went through the Indiana Agricultural Statistics Service. So they thought that it was basically a survey, and they helped us with this. Because if they would have saw Purdue on there, they would have just pit-filed it. Thinking we were asking for more money. And again, a cost of $1,000. Each of these, again, we worked through the Indiana Ag Statistics Service. They basically found the growers. They have the grower list in there, and they're able to target certain counties by farm size, the distribution across the state, so we can get a good cross-section of the entire state. So we're not just sampling large growers in the middle of the state. We get all growers, all shapes and sizes, and a good distribution. They also helped us distribute the surveys. And in the monster one, what the cost us is $16,000 is we had follow-up surveys. For those growers that did not fill it out, we had people call them up and then go through the survey and ask questions over the phone. So that was the large cost, was that was basically paying people to make these phone calls and be on the phone for an hour and a half with a grower in order to go through these surveys. And basically once they did this, they put it all into a big spreadsheet database for us and sent it to campus, and we could analyze the data. That way, again, we're keeping that information about the growers confidential. We have no idea who it was sent to. We don't have any idea. We know what counties they were, but we don't have any idea about, you know, it was Bill Smith on the corner of Johnson and County 7. You know, we don't have that information, which I think they liked. That it was much more, that they weren't targeted specifically. Again, this is just the statistics. We're fortunate enough to work with a statistician that had worked with survey data before, and she went through and did the statistical measurements, the t-test, the f-test, and made that life very easy. Because again, this database was huge when you have 1,330 responses, 52 questions, and all the different answers. So what we're to do is kind of go through and talk about some of the crop management survey results and then how we integrated that into some of our programming. The biggest question that we've been getting in Indiana is we'll go to a grower meeting and they'll say, you know what, everyone's throwing the drill away and moving to 30-inch rows. That's what people are doing. Okay, that's what growers are doing today. Well, during our survey, what we're able to see is 57% of growers in Indiana still use the drill. 31% are on 15s, and only 12% of growers actually are on 30-inch row spacing. So again, this is our information saying, no, they're not moving to 30s. If anything, it's the large growers moving to 15s. We broke this out into growers from 0 to 100 acres, 100 to 250, 250 to 500, 500 to 1,000, and 1,000 or more acres, kind of how we broke this up and to compare these. So basically, they were all similar until we got to large growers, those are 1,000 or more acres, 50% of them are using 15-inch rows. That's basically the movement in the industry. The other thing we're able to find out is regarding the seeding rates in soybeans. If we look here, basically the growers are right on what Purdue's recs were for seeding rates on 7.5-inch rows. However, on 15s, here we see a big discrepancy, and on 30s, we see a big discrepancy. So basically what we're seeing here is still over 40% of growers are overseeding their soybeans. So again, it's just another way of saying, you got 7.5, so you're right on board. But when we talk to growers and ask them, why did you move to 15s? They say to cut seeding rates. Well, we can say here, well, you're not cutting them enough. So in terms of saving, there's some dollars that could be saved here based on our recommendations and what growers are really doing. Another question related to planting date. What we've seen here is basically over a 60% shift in earlier planting across the state. And interestingly enough, it wasn't in southern Indiana. It's in northern Indiana. The northern third of the state is planting anywhere from 1 to 3 weeks earlier today than they were 10 years ago. Okay? And we ask them, why are you doing that? And in general, if you talk to a grower, why they do anything, what's the number one reason? Yield. I mean, it wasn't that surprising. But another thing that they're citing is climate change. It's kind of interesting that they think that there's weather changes out there that they're getting a yield increase and being able to get in earlier, get their crop planted, improve soybean varieties. One of the common things that we hear is, you know, well, they're doing it to spread out the workload. Well, in general, growers don't really consider that. I mean, if they're big enough to run, you know, 5,000 acres, they got the equipment that they can plant that 5,000 acres in the same number of days that they did 10 years ago when they had 500 acres. So equipment wasn't really the issue. And then industry replant programs weren't really an issue either. Now, with earlier planting comes this pathogen. Does everyone know what this is? Sun death syndrome. Not surprisingly, oops, what did I just do? That's kind of interesting. Not surprisingly, what came up to be is one of the number one pest problems in Indiana. Sun death syndrome. So again, we can kind of relate, continue to educate growers that you're planting earlier. While you're planting earlier, that's driving sun death syndrome. Then we can take them to the information related to variety selection, looking for tolerance, and again, another form of education. Planting depth, another thing. Growers are planting earlier, but you would think over these years they'd know what planting depth. Well, only 46% of growers planted in the recommended planting depth of 3/4 of an inch to 1.5 inches. Believe it or not, 42% of growers were 2 inches or deeper. Okay, that's what their seeding depth with soybean. So we can go to education about problems with replant decisions, problems with poor stands in the spring. Well, you're planting 3 weeks earlier and you're planting 2.5 inches deep. Well, I think we can kind of, again, target some information of where we need to do some improvements related to just the process of getting that crop established. So generally, with this one, what we found is basically 43% of growers are planting too much seed. The growers at 15-inch rows are planting 11% over, 30-inch 17% over as far as their seeding rates. Again, most growers are 7.5, but the big guys are moving to 15s. And then the dramatic shift to earlier planting date, and then we can get into the education related to, well, it takes a soybean plant 145 GDUs to get out of the ground. What's the corn? 125. When does the growing point get above the ground in corn? V5. When does the growing point get above the ground for soybeans? As soon as that plant's out of the ground. So then, again, we could use this information to, again, talk about crop physiology, bring that information into the process as well. Now, I'm going to target the fungicide usage survey. And again, this was basically we contacted two industries. It was Syngenta and BASF funded this, basically $500 a piece to do this survey. What we've seen in the state of Indiana, in 04, 10% of growers used a fungicide, foliar fungicide in soybean. In 05, 15%. In 06, 24% of growers used a foliar fungicide. So we're able to track what growers are doing in the state in terms of fungicide usage. Now, if we look here, this is kind of the distribution in the number of farms and how big of a grower. So there's about 84 growers in the 0 to 99 acreage range using a fungicide, whereas you see here the cross-section is 250 to 500, 1,000 plus, the number of growers that responded to the survey. Basically, what we saw here was 52% of growers spraying less than 25% of their acres. What does that tell us? In general, what they're doing is they're just probably splitting the field and looking at it. Okay. But the other interesting right here is 19% of growers are spraying every acre they had. Okay. So that's, again, we have two different ideas here of what they're doing. In terms of what was the product of interest, this probably surprises no one. It was headline. They did a very good job of marketing. So I think that it's kind of an interesting, if you're a marketing specialist, generally it's the first product that makes the market that is the leader. And that would have been the Quadris Warrior. But for whatever reason, BASF and headline, they just jumped across and moved it as a market leader. I think that's kind of an interesting study in terms of marketing. Why did they spray it? 7% said, 5% said soybean rust, seeing as this is before we even had soybean rust in the state of Indiana. 7% for disease, 88% for plant health reasons was the main reason for spraying a fungicide. Was there a yield advantage? 78% of growers said yes, 22% of growers said no. Okay. Now if we go in and look at the distribution in yields, basically 18 growers had 1 to 2 bushels, 30, 3 to 4, 30, 5 to 6, 25. Okay, those are all fine and dandy. Now let's kind of look at the yield, the break-even yield. And this is what, again, we can use this information to prove a point with our growers. What we have here, this is kind of a busy slide, and if it was my grad student put this together, I would yell at him because I said this is too much information, but do as I say, not as I do, I guess, is what we can say here, is that this blue line here, this is no wheel tracks, okay? Given no wheel tracks from driving a sprayer through the field, what we see here, at $5 beans, we need about a little over 4 bushels to break even. At $10 beans, where we're at right now, we're looking at 2 bushels, okay? Now, when we're looking at these, this is the yield loss associated with wheel track damage caused by driving a sprayer through your field, okay? A 60-foot boom, 2.5% yield loss. 90-foot boom, 1.9% yield loss. 120-foot boom, 1.3. So when we're talking to growers, like, you need to add a little extra on top of that as far as getting the yield back to break even. So in a 60-foot boom, they're going to need 5.5 bushels. So, you know, again, when we're working with our growers, instead of saying 4, they really need 5.5 to break even. Or even at $10 beans, instead of 2, they need 3.5 bushels to break even. So again, just some information to bring that forward, that you need to factor in that wheel loss. Okay, I see my time is running, so I'll fly. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, $5 beans, 68% of growers lost money. Okay, I think that's an important part to bring out. That's not breaking even, that's lost money. Okay, $10 beans, a third of the guys lost money. So again, I think that's another important thing to put forward is, yeah, it's all fine and dandy, but you got a 33-1-3 chance you're going to lose money even at $10 beans. So, in conclusion, survey data documents production trends. It's good information, and it's good for P&T. I got basically 4 manuscripts and 4 extension publications. So for us young faculty that need those check marks, it's good all around. So that's all I wanted to say. And I think I'm about done.
Yep.
All right. Thank you.